All right, you ready to get into the Word today?
Yes.
Absolutely. Seriously, you ready to get into the Word? Because
yes.
I got Word for you today. We've got some amazing Word for you this morning, so get your Bibles. So you ready?
Yes.
All right, hold them up in the air. Repeat this after me.
This is my Bible.
So get your own. see, you're paying attention. I got you. Just making sure you're awake.
This is my Bible.
And I believe what it says.
I can have what it says I can have.
And I can do what it says I can do.
I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today.
Amen. Open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to get there in just a second. I want to talk to you today about overcoming sin. Is that okay? Amen. I believe that the Bible teaches us that we can sin less and less. I believe that because of what Jesus has done in our lives, that we have the ability to grow and walk in freedom. And I want to encourage you today because, you know, sin steals from us. You know, sin is what the devil uses to steal, kill, and destroy from our lives and from the lives of other people. We're in a great generation that's learning about the grace of God. And today's a grace message. Today you're going to hear a lot of grace in the message. But in that grace message, I want to help you understand as well that the grace of God is not just there to help forgive you of sin, but to help you overcome it.
Amen.
And help you walk free from it. You know, sin is not just about going to heaven or not going to heaven. Sin in our lives robs us of healthy relationships because bitterness and greed and anger and pride and jealousy can rip relationships apart. Unforgiveness. You understand that? Hurt your children, hurt your marriage and your life. Sin, you can sin against your own body and destroy your physical body, shorten your lifespan. Sin can steal and rob you of your callings and the future that God has for your life, the impact you're supposed to make. And so sin's a big deal. We have to deal with this area of sin. And God has given us hope. God has given us power. God has given us an ability to overcome and to live free from sin. And I want to put that as a target on the wall. Does that mean that we're going to be perfect in our actions on this side of eternity? Probably not. We're going to work things out. But I'll tell you this, we can increase our probability and chances and winning rate. We can increase our success rate of saying no to sin and yes to the life of God. I have to believe that we can continue to get better and better and better. That I can sin less today than I sinned yesterday. And I can sin less tomorrow than I even sinned today. That I'm going to make the expectation increase in getting better and not just settling in like, oh, you know, we're all just sinners and we're always going to just be overwhelmed. We're always just going to be defeated. No, we're not. God has made a way. Amen? And I want to help you see that today. And I need to help you learn. See, when I was a kid growing up, they often taught us how to repent of our sin. But there wasn't a lot of strategy taught to us about how to overcome it. And so today, I want to move you past always just repenting. Praise God, we have the ability to ask forgiveness. But I want to teach you theologically and then practically how to overcome sin in your life. So that sounds pretty exciting, don't you think? So I'm going to build some theology now, because if you don't think right, you're not going to live it right. You have to have understanding so you know why you can have confidence in overcoming sin. So I'm going to spend some time building the theology, and then we're going to get into some practical things. So let's open up our Bibles here. We'll read in 1 John chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 5. Are you ready? This is the message we have heard from him, and we announce to you that God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Underline that. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Can we say amen to God's word on that? And that's a mouthful in itself. God is light. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Here's what I want to talk to you about in this passage of Scripture. First of all, John is writing it, chapter 2, he's writing it to say, I'm trying to teach these things to you so that you may not sin. That there's a target there. There's a goal. The Apostle John wouldn't say that unless it was possible. Amen? The expectation wasn't just, hey, you're going to sin. Let me just teach you how to ask for forgiveness. But let me get your thinking right. And in getting your thinking right, it's going to help you see that you have victory. And you have victory over sin. You see, first of all, you say, well, what about this whole, if we say that we don't have sin and all this stuff? The Bible's basically telling us none of us can say that we're perfect on our own. None of us can say that we're sinless on our own. But we have an advocate. And we have, God has made a solution. Amen? So there's people who say, oh, I don't need Jesus. Yes, you do. We all have a sin problem. Everyone in this room, everyone watching on the internet, every one of us have had a sin problem. But God. God is light. And God then takes us out of the kingdom of darkness, the Bible says, and translates us into the kingdom of light. Isn't that awesome? See, how is it that we could walk in the light as He is in the light? See, what happens sometimes is we put that burden on ourselves, thinking that's talking about our perfection, our walking in a perfect walk. But you understand, that's impossible. There's no way for you to walk in light and be in light as God is in the light. How in the world are you in your flesh ever going to be able to accomplish that in your own strength? You can't. But it's a work of God. Something that God did. God takes us out of darkness and He puts us in His light. I'm going to give this to you in Scripture over and over and over again. So if you don't believe me now, don't worry, you will in a minute. But I want you to see this. And that word walk in the light is the word of like walk around in it. Live in that light. Make it your place of residence. Learn how to make that your identity and your address. Isn't that great? God put me here. God put me in the light, and it's the same light that God is in. It's the same purity. It's the same holiness. It's the same light of God that God exists in. There is no way in the flesh. And here's the other thing. If you have to say that if I can attain walking in the light as He is in the light, then the blood of Jesus covers me of all sins, I wouldn't need the blood of Jesus to cover me of all sins because in myself, I have learned how to walk in light like God. Was that a mouthful or what? But do you understand the theology of what I just said? This scripture is not saying that you have to make yourself perfect in the light and then the blood of Jesus covers you of all sins. God has put you in His light, and in that place of light, in that place of holiness, in that place of right standing with God, the blood of Jesus cleanses you of all sins and keeps you in that place of light. So that even when you mess up, even when you make mistakes, even when you sin, you're still in light. You don't fall out of the light. You're still in light. Because He's still your Lord and Savior. You don't let go of Jesus. He's not going to let go of you. Are you understanding this? And so we can walk in light and come out of darkness. And I need to paint that picture for you. Matter of fact, if you move on in the passage of Scripture, you'll see that John here, and I love this, he moves on to say, I write this to you so that you may not sin. And so there's this expectation that I'm no longer in darkness. I'm no longer in fellowship with darkness. I am light in the Lord. Even Jesus says, you are now the light of the world. I'm going to get just to you. I got lots of Scripture. Don't worry. Don't rush. Don't rush me now, people. Don't rush me. I'll get you there. But John here is saying, look, I'm telling you about getting your mind in the right place. You're not trying to pull yourself out of darkness. Jesus did that. And now from light, what the devil's trying to do is get you out of light back into darkness. Do you see? You have to see how this thing works. You're not trying to get yourself out of darkness. He did that. And the devil with temptation and sin is trying to pull you back in to darkness. And that's why you have to see, I am in light and light has no fellowship with darkness, the Bible says. What fellowship does light have with darkness? But you have to see that you're light and that doesn't fit on you anymore. Those attitudes, those offenses, those sin patterns, those lusts and passions that are out of control, that's darkness. That's not my identity. That's not me. I am light in the Lord. You see that? And he says, you have to see that so that you may not sin. And then he says, if you sin. Now, I love it. It changes it from when you sin to if you sin. Most of our mentality is when you sin. That's what I was raised growing up. You're going to sin. You're going to sin. You're going to sin. You're going to sin. And that's kind of where we leave people. But John's raising the expectation here, saying, hey, if you sin, praise God. Maybe today that's your one change of mentality. Rather than just expecting yourself to fail, you can change from when to if. Maybe today I don't have to be offended like I'm always offended. Maybe today I don't have to move into fear like I always move into fear. Maybe today I don't have to lust like I've always lusted. Maybe today I can walk in what Jesus has paid for me to walk in and the freedom that he's paid for me to walk in. Make that the target on the wall, people. Amen. Does that mean you're going to attain it? Maybe, maybe not. And even if you sin, we have an advocate. Isn't God good? No, it's great. Is he's not looking for reasons to throw us out of the light. We need an advocate, and he's advocating for us to stay in that light and not to be brought back into our bondage again, but to stay in our freedom even after we sin again. Man, God is for you. He's not against you. When we were growing up, we thought God was waiting for us to sin so he could like punish us. God, if you sin, first of all, he's made it possible for you to say no to sin and to resist that temptation, to resist that sin. He totally has set you free from that. And if he didn't do that, then it's not fair for him to expect you to live above it. You understand what I'm saying? Because that means sin still has some control or bondage or right over you, but sin doesn't have right over you, which is why God can say you're allowed to walk out of it and live free. Man, I got so much to tell you. I've preached this thing twice and it's just getting bigger. So you just like hold on. All right, listen. If you sin, praise God, we still have an advocate named Jesus. God is not looking for your defeat. He's looking to help you win every time. Every time. You can celebrate your goodness of Jesus on that, okay? We have an advocate. He's right there. He's right there helping us when we sin or if we sin. And praise God, I love it. Let's change it from when to if. Let's get better. Let's see ourselves as in the light as he is in the light. I didn't say this in the two services because I just saw it when I was reading it to you in this third service. You're in the same quality of light that he is in. See, it started it by saying God is light. God is light. And then it follows it up by saying walk in that light as he is in the light. You are in the same holiness, the same purity, the same authority, the throne of God. You live in the same environment. You are the temple of the Spirit of God. You are the body of God, Christ God. You understand? It's not a lower light. It's not a secondary light. You look just like Jesus to the devil. You look just like God's holiness. This is not another holiness. There's not a different holiness. It's only his holiness. It's only his righteousness. And that's the righteousness that you possess. You don't possess a lower grade. You possess the same quality of righteousness that Jesus did. Do you understand that? That this side of the room understood that. All right. Do y'all over here understand that? The same light. And there's no way you could attain that on your own. There's no way you could make yourself God's light. He did that. He did that. Amen. Wow. Glory. Amen. All right, let's keep going. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 11, talking about you being light. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. See, it's not in yourself. It's not us. It's in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Now that takes process. You know, God knows that he's taken you out of a kingdom of darkness. And he's put you in a new kingdom. He's like put you in a new country. And it's time for you to learn the new language, to learn the new ways of doing and living, to learn the new ways. But you have to see that God has put you in this new kingdom. You're not attaining it by your own works and efforts trying to perfect yourself. And once you get perfect, then you'll be in the light. When you give your life to Jesus, he places you in that light, in that good standing, in that holiness, in that righteousness, in that purity. Are you seeing this? But yes, we must learn now how to walk in that light, which is why we still stumble and fail, because our flesh is still remembering what it used to feel and desire what it used to desire. Our brain needs to be renewed because we still react and respond the way we used to. But that's just stuff we're working through. The true legal transaction has happened. You are definitely and accurately and right now in the light of God. And now it's just progressively, you're learning what it means to walk in that, which is why John was saying, as you learn to walk in that, you're going to sin less and less. As you learn to think like children of light, as you learn to speak like children of light, as you learn what children of light do and don't do, and that you have the authority to say yes and to say no to darkness, you will progressively continue to get better and better and better. Amen. So you got to get the theology right behind it. So many times our pastors have just taught us just to ask for forgiveness, and they haven't taught us who we really are. And so today I'm trying to teach you, and then I'll give you practical application at the end. This is all theology. I get this, but you need this theology because your belief system matters. And so the Bible says here, we begin to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead we expose them. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-9. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. You can underline it. Are you excited about that? Amen. Man, you are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. This is talking about the coming of the Lord. For you are all sons, and I'm going to add daughters of light, sons of the day. The Bible is trying to renew your mind that you are not the same person you were before you gave your life to Jesus. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. You aren't that darkness anymore. That isn't your residence. That's not your address. I'm walking around in light. Amen. But you need to see yourself. You're sons of the day. Amen. Children of light. And when we see that, that's when we begin to say, that old lifestyle, that old thought process, that old attitude, that's darkness trying to creep back into my light. It doesn't fit in my light. Amen. We can begin to identify light and darkness, life, death. And we begin to make the right choices again and again and again because we see that we're in the light. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. God hasn't destined you for his wrath. All of God's wrath against us and our sin was placed on Jesus that we might receive his righteousness, which is the light that we walk in. Amen. Amen. Yes. It's all right. You'll get it. Just over lunch today, it'll hit you. But so many people walk around afraid of God's wrath, afraid that God's judging them, afraid that God's looking to do something wrong to them. Understand here, the Bible says you're light and God hasn't appointed you for his wrath. And again, it links it to Jesus again, because all of this is because of Jesus. Right. It's not you being perfect. It's not you figuring it all out. It's not you earning it and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and out of your sins and out of darkness and making yourself walk in light. It's all Jesus. Because of Jesus, you're children of light. It's because of Jesus that you're children of the day. It's because of Jesus that God's wrath has been expired upon the cross and totally consumed by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, so that you can then get the light that Jesus has, so that you can get the purity and the holiness. And I'm going to get into more of that as we keep going. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Are you ready to go some more? So I'm not done. Romans 6, 11 through 14. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. My friend, you are dead to sin, and you are alive to God. You need to see, first of all, that you are alive. Whether you feel it, whether you don't feel it, whether your emotions want to tell you that or not, by faith, I know and I believe in Jesus that I am alive to God, and I am dead to that sin. I can't be tempted by something that I'm dead to. Therefore, or because of this, you see, again, you put your thoughts in the right place, it helps your actions to follow. Therefore, the word therefore means because of this. Do not let sin reign, which means rule or be king over your life. You know, when you've died to that thing and sin comes back and knocking on your door, you need to have a bad attitude today like you're used to. You can say, you're not the boss of me. When sin comes, you need to be filled with lust and out of controlled passions. You could say, you're not the boss of me. Amen. You are not the boss of me. Even do the head thing. Makes the devil mad. You are not the boss of me. And I don't have to let you sin reign. You're not my king.
That's right.
I have a new king. I live in a new kingdom. Amen. You have no more authority over me. And see, this is where we have to be persuaded and convinced. You say, Pastor Kevin, you know you repeat yourself a lot. Yes. So did Jesus.
That's right.
He said, again, I say to you. Why did he say that? Because they didn't get it the first time.
Right.
So again, I say to you, you are in the kingdom of light.
Amen.
And so when darkness knocks, you say, you have no more authority. You're not my ruler. And again, if Jesus didn't do this, and if sin was still your ruler, then there's no reason why you could walk free from it, because it's still your master. But because it's not your master, because it has no legal right over you, you can tell sin no. You can tell those attitudes no. You can tell your flesh no. You can tell the devil no. You can do that. And if you say no 100 times and mess up 101st time, you have an advocate.
Amen.
You don't get kicked out of light. You don't get kicked out of the kingdom of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And you know what? The Bible tells us that we're supposed to forgive and release people 70 times, 7 times a day. And you know what? God will release you as well, my friend. He's not going to ask you to release other people and forgive them if he's not willing to offer the same forgiveness to you. Some people say, oh, I messed up again. I'm going to run out of forgiveness. His mercies are renewed every morning. Again, God is for you. He's wanting you to win, live victoriously, grow up in light. He's not looking for excuses to keep you out. If he wanted you out, he would have never brought you in. He had you out. And if he wanted you out, he would have left you there. Are you understanding? Man, God is so awesome. Are you starting to get excited about this yet? Man, Jesus is so much better than we've ever thought.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Therefore, do not let sin reign, rule, be your king in your mortal bodies. So we can see our mortal bodies get better and better and better. Not just internal things. I'm talking about what we do with our flesh too. So that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting your members of your bodies to sin as instruments. The word instruments there is the word weapons of unrighteousness. And truly the devil uses those things as weapons to destroy our lives and to destroy the lives of other people. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments or weapons of righteousness, so that I can not destroy, have my life destroyed, but I can destroy chains and bondages and open prison doors and be used as a weapon of God of righteousness to set other people free and to do damage to the devil's kingdom.
Amen.
Rather than damage to my own life and damage to the lives around me. For sin shall, I love this, sin shall not be master over you.
Amen.
For you are no longer under the law, but you're under grace. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. More Bible. More Bible. I just need you to know this is not Pastor Kevin just had too much pizza last night. This is truth. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to start verse 22. Have you found it? Say, Pastor Kevin, you had them all on the screen and now you're making me turn. Why did you do that? So you don't get lazy.
That's good.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. In reference to your former manner of life, I love that the Bible is constantly trying to renew your mind that that's a former life.
Amen.
That's not you anymore.
Amen.
Don't let the devil make you think you're the same old, same old.
Don't
let the devil get you into agreement that nothing happened when Jesus set you free. Okay? The Bible is constantly trying to help you see you're different now. Something has changed. And so, speaking of your former life, you lay aside your old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts and deceit, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, it's about the way you think. So first, you have to intentionally lay aside your old self. And now intentionally, verse 24, put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. God is light. Amen.
Amen.
The new self that you're putting on is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness. The new you was created in righteousness. You didn't just add righteousness. It was created in righteousness. And holiness. He made you holy. There's no way you're going to make yourself holy. He made you holy. Now we have to learn what it means to walk in that. And the devil's going to try to pull you out of holiness, but you're in holiness because of Jesus. See, he's made you holy and truth of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth one to another with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another's body. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity or a foothold, some Bibles say. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with those who are in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that word which is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed. Here's what I want you to see in that. The Bible says, very simplistically, lay aside the old self and put on the new self. And then it begins to say very simply, if you've been stealing, stop. If you've been using your mouth to cuss and lie and cheat, stop. If you've been angry and sinning in your anger, stop. I love it because it's telling me it's possible. It's telling me that it's not supposed to be this major deal and battle. It's as easy as just lay aside the old clothes of who you were. Do you see that? And that takes intentionality. It says, I'm not going to have that attitude anymore. I lay it aside. I cast it off. But you know what? You don't wrestle your clothes off of your body. Hopefully. No, when I want to take it off, I just take it off. And I cast it aside. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Cast it aside. You take it off. Amen. That's intentional, though. I take it off and I lay it aside. That means it's possible. It's possible to do that. Don't say that, oh, I can't control my anger. I can't. Maybe you can't control it, but in Jesus, he sets you free from it. Okay? And God is here to help you take that anger out of your life. But you keep giving it permission like it's so hard and it's going to be there forever because it's in your DNA or it's in your nationality or it's just the way you've always been. The lust, the pornography, the bitterness, the offense, the jealousy, the greed. It's just the way and it's oh so hard. I've been years trying to deal with this and God's saying, I defeated that sin. You don't have to defeat it. You have to lay it aside and come out of agreement with it and start seeing it that it doesn't own you anymore. You don't belong to that anymore. You're in a new identity. You're in a new kingdom. You are in light. And the devil's trying to take you from your light and bring you back into the darkness that you used to walk in. It just says, lay it aside. I love that. I take those clothes off. I lay them aside. Now here's the other part. Don't walk around naked. You can quote me on that. Some people lay aside the old self and they're like just walking around. The Bible says then put on the new self. That takes intentionality. That takes me saying, I exchange those old things for these new things. Amen. I'm laying hold of what Jesus purchased for my life. I am laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid a hold of me for. I am laying hold of my new nature in God, God's divine nature. I'm laying hold of it. I'm putting on my new clothes because they've been bought and paid for, and they belong to me because he gave them to me. Amen. Amen. But what I want you to see in this whole passage is just this ease. It's not supposed to be this big struggle. It's ease. May it go back to ease again. Where it's like, hey, if you've been stealing, stop. If you've been lying, stop. If you've been and speak truth. And if you've been using your mouth to hurt people, start speaking edification and pure things. Stop. Do the right thing. You have the ability. You have the capacity. Isn't that great? Some people are like, well, I'm working on it. Well, I praise God we're working on it. But we need to see that we have the capacity. Sometimes it's an excuse like we're working on it for 50 years. I'm working on my bad attitude. No, you're not. You've had that same bad attitude for 50 years. You're working on nothing. Amen. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate the vote of confidence. Let's talk about the devil for just a minute. Because just theologically, this should be easy. God's paid for it. It belongs to you. You should be able to just walk in that. Just lay it aside. Put on the new. Lay it aside. Put on the new. Why is it so hard? Because we have an enemy. There's an adversary that's trying to pull you out of your place. That's trying to bring you back into death. is trying to bring you back into darkness. If it was just you and God, yes, it would be easy. But we are in a contest. We are in a battle. You understand that? And we have to remember that. And we don't want to be unwise about the devil's strategies and plans. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober of spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil. Now, I think that's interesting because the devil's not just God's adversary, he's your adversary too. Prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That speaks of vulnerability to me. That the devil's looking for times in your life to pull you out of your light, to pull you out of your righteousness, to pull you out of your holiness. He's looking for vulnerable places and moments in your life. He doesn't come after you when you feel strong and when you're, you know, after you've had, you know, in the morning when I have my Bible and my coffee, the devil's not really there. He's not attacking me. He might attack me BC, before coffee. But when I've had my Bible and my coffee, I'm strong. At least till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. But do you understand, there's moments in our life we feel very strong, we feel very confident, and the devil waits. And he prowls around looking for vulnerable times in our lives to attack. Times where you get hurt, times where you get disappointed, times where you're tired, times where you feel weak, times where you feel insecure. I'll get into that in just a second. It happened to Jesus. If he did it to Jesus, he's going to do it to you. There were times in Jesus' life, two in particular that I'll mention to you where the devil did this to Jesus. Number one, right after a 40-day fast. He hadn't eaten anything. He hadn't slept much. He hadn't had anything to drink. And right after this time where Jesus is physically hungry and tired, the devil's like, knock, knock, knock. Here I am, ready to tempt you. The devil knows what he's doing. He's prowling around waiting for vulnerable moments and times in your life to pull you out of who you are, to make you fail, to take possession and ownership of who you are and bring you back into bondage. You know, and Jesus used the word against him. Jesus said, hey, it is written. But notice what the devil said to Jesus again and again. He said, if you be the Son of God, if you be. He kept challenging Jesus' position. He kept challenging his authority. He kept challenging who he was in God. Are you understanding this? If you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God. Sometimes when we're weak, we don't feel like we're the son or daughter of God. You understand? When we're tired, we don't feel like we're sons and daughters of God. When we're hungry and we have needs going on in our lives, it's not always the most powerful thing we feel, but it's still the reality.
Amen.
It's still the reality, whether you feel it or not. And he says, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God. Another time that same thing happened was when Jesus was dying on the cross. When Jesus was dying on the cross and he was tired. And you know what? He had opportunity there to be angry and hurt and insecure about his position. Even God turned his face away in that moment. Are you understanding? And what do you hear from the Pharisees? What do you hear? They say, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, come off that tree, trying to get Jesus to come out of his position. I know that was the devil talking through those human beings. The devil can use people's mouths against you. You understand that? Trying to find when you're vulnerable, find when you're weak. And so the Bible begins to give us information to say, hey, we've got to be alert and aware of these strategies of the devil so that you'll win. See, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You're resisting against the devil. You're overcoming of sin. It's the strength of Jesus that we work in, not in our own. But put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He has schemes and strategies. The devil's been doing this a while. And he has ways of looking, trying to pull you back into bondage, pull you out of your position and bring you back into bondage. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, so that we will not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. You need to be smart. Pay attention. You need to be able to see how the devil's trying to get back into your life and put you back into slavery and bondage again. Today, I really want you to be aware of your spirit, your soul, your body, about how you're doing physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, anywhere that you might be getting vulnerable, so that you can then be alert, on alert. And then you can take the necessary measures to strengthen those places that were vulnerable in your life so that you can continue to champion and win. You know, I have this little fishing rod over here because I boiled it down to a few things. I mean, I'm sure there's others, but just today I'm going to teach on a few things. I am not a great fisherman, just so you know that. Matter of fact, when I go fishing, the fish go, yay. He's not going to catch anything today. We're safe. We're good. But the strategies and schemes of the devil, I boil it down to an acronym, call it BAIT, BAIT, B-A-I-T. Times and seasons in our life that we're vulnerable, bored, angry, insecure, tired. Those are times in our lives, I think, that we're the most vulnerable. Times when we're bored in our life, times when we're hurt or angry or upset about something, times when we're insecure about who we are, where we're going, or we're just physically tired. You know, even the disciples, the Bible says, couldn't even stay and tarry and pray with Jesus. He said, couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? And then he said, you know what? Your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. Your spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And so the devil comes in to bait us. And you know what you do with bait, right? Bait, first of all, bait looks attractive. It's supposed to look attractive. It's supposed to lure you in. You know, it's designed that way for a purpose. And when the devil comes to pull you out of your holiness or to pull you out of your position, whatever that thing is, whatever that temptation that sin is, it's designed to look like you have to have it. I mean, the fish look at that and they're like, ah, I have to have it. It's shiny. It sparkles. It's so beautiful. Have to have it. They don't know there's a hook in there and it's going to kill them. And they don't even care. You could probably even tell them, there's a hook in there. It's going to kill you. I don't care. It's shiny. It sparkles. I have to have it. How many times in our lives does the devil lure us and bait us to pull us? Now, I want you to see this illustration. I love this. You are in the river of God. You are in the body of Christ. You are in the spirit and the light and the presence and the holiness of God. You understand that? So sin and the devil is trying to pull you out of what you're in. Do you see this? But I want you to see first and foremost that you're in there. You're in there. And so what the devil's trying to do is tempt you out of what you're in, out of your authority, out of your dominion, out of your holiness, out of your righteousness. And he uses times when we're vulnerable in our life, bored, angry, insecure, tired. I mean, there's times where I have to be offended. That's what I need my offense. I need my bitterness. It's so shiny. And I need it. It's beautiful. It's what I know. This is, and you think I can't resist it. Yes, you can. But you know what? The devil comes in like an angel of light. He's not making sin look like sin. He's making it look like something you can't live without. And the truth is, you've been set free from it, so you can live without. Does that make sense? And so I just want you to see bait, bored, angry, insecure, tired. Let me just quickly give you a couple of illustrations through the Bible about those principles in this last portion. This is the practical part. I want you to have the theology about it so that you know you're allowed to say no. I'm not going to take the bait. I'm not going to let it pull me out of my holiness or my light or my position. I say no to that. It's not my master. David, man after God's own heart. Everybody loves David. God loves David. David's a great guy. David was a champion for the kingdom of God. David is supposed to be out winning battles for Israel and pushing forward the kingdom of God in his time and in his generation. And the Bible tells us, I think it's 2 Chronicles, says in the time when kings are supposed to go out to war in the spring, said David decided just to chill and stay home and send other people out to do it. And you know what? It was in this time where David wasn't actively advancing kingdom, wasn't involved in something meaningful. He was just sitting around bored that David had his greatest failure.
Come on. That's good.
I mean, how many teenagers on a Friday night, trouble happens because they're sitting around bored going, what do you want to do tonight? And by the end of the night, they did a whole lot more than they were expecting. And they're in a whole lot of trouble. Boredom. But you know, there's mighty men and women of God. David, by not going out to fight like he's supposed to and advance kingdom purposes and plans like he's supposed to and do something with his life, by sitting back, he's wandering around his house. He's going, what do I do today? I don't know, I'm going to go for a walk. And on his walk, he goes out into the balcony of his palace and he looks out over the city. And then he looks down and he sees a beautiful lady by the name of Bathsheba taking a bath on the roof. I don't understand. Taking a bath on the roof. I'm sure back then that was totally culturally acceptable and cool, but I think even if I lived back then, I would still have put my bath somewhere else. I'm a very private person. I shut the door, shut the window, turn the light off if I can. This isn't a free-for-all. You know what I mean? It's just. And so David's walking around on his balcony. He's bored and he's looking, and then there's a bait set for him. And he says, I gotta have her. But David, you have other wives. I know, but I need that one. I can't live without her. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Amen.
Some of you guys out there, yes, you can.
Amen.
I need her. It's shiny. And he even is willing to kill her husband to have her. Sin will take you further than you ever thought you wanted to go. Make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. And make you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay. Bored. How many men and women of God, mighty champions of God, have found themselves in trouble because some reason they pulled themselves off the battlefield? I'm just going to rest a while. I just need sabbatical. Now, I understand. I agree with rest and refreshing. But some people have been on sabbatical for 15 years. You need to go back and start championing some things. That laziness, the boredom that you experience, there's no more excitement in God. It's not because God isn't exciting. It's because we've pulled back and we've allowed ourselves, we pulled ourselves out of the mission. We pulled ourselves out of the advancement. And in that boredom, the devil baits us. And we make choices that we never would have made when we were out on the front lines. One of the scariest times for ministers in their life when it comes to moral failures and failures is when their season of championing things turns into a different season and they don't feel like they're out doing anything. They feel bored with themselves. And they go out and get themselves into trouble. Angry, bored, angry. Angry has rooted in it fear, jealousy, hurt, disappointment. There's all kinds of things with anger, and the devil baits you with your anger. Fear, you know, some people say, why is Dad so angry, or why is he that way? If you really boil it down, he might be afraid that we're not going to pay the bills. Afraid of losing his job. Afraid like he's a failure. And that fear turns into anger outside on everybody else. But again, that fear is something the devil's using to bait you, to pull you in, and to steal, kill, and destroy your marriage, your relationship with your kids, relationship with other people, and that rage that you live in. It's trying to destroy everything. But you don't have to live in it. You don't have to make that who you are. Jesus did a great work to set you free from that. People are jealous. Why is that jealousy turn into anger? Because you feel like they're going to have something you're never going to have. You feel like they get to do things you're never going to do, yet God is your source. God is your provider. He's got good plans for your life. Amen. You don't have to be jealous. And that anger is a trap. That bitterness is a trap. Insecure. The Bible tells us that fear of man is a snare. How many people have found themselves saying yes to things and never would have said yes to because they don't want to make themselves look weird to people that they want to like them. They don't want to stand up for what they believe in. They don't want to say what they need to say. And they let people rule them and dominate them because of insecurity. Fear of man is a snare. Fear of rejection is rooted in that too. And so you let people boss you around, push you into all kinds of things that you never would have done. And it's a trap. And those relationships, if you were to get into those relationships, it's a never-ending cycle. If you have to change to make a friend, you're going to have to continue to change to keep that friend. That friend needs to be your friend because of who you are. Amen. Or those relationships need to be there because of who you are. And you can go on and on. Last one, tired. And there's other, all these things, you can figure out where they're rooted in, what sins and what outworkings are rooted in that BAIT acronym. Tired. Elijah, mighty man of God, prophet of God in the Old Testament, powerful moment. He calls fire down out of heaven. There's this big battle, God against gods. Like Baal, the prophets of Baal, and they were Israel was serving this false god for a while, and there was like 400 or something prophets of Baal. And Elijah stands up and says, let's have a God challenge. If your God be God, let him answer by fire. And if our God is God, God Jehovah is God, he'll answer by fire. And so all day long, all these false prophets are cutting themselves, singing around, dancing, getting crazy, helping their God, answers them. Baal didn't do anything. Matter of fact, Elijah begins taunting them, saying, maybe he's in the bathroom, maybe he's on vacation. Just what Elijah did. He was kind of funny like that. Anyways, nothing happened. Elijah's turn. He stands up, prays a 35-word prayer. God answers with fire, consumes the altar, conserving mighty victory. In one day, all of Israel repents. Mighty revival happens, and the whole nation comes back to God. That's a huge victory, don't you think? That's a massive thing. What people don't understand sometimes is sometimes when you have mighty victories in God spiritually, that you can become physically tired and depleted, and you're vulnerable to the devil. You're vulnerable. And all of a sudden, Jezebel, just like the devil, waited until Elijah was tired. And Jezebel makes a threat and says, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. And Elijah had just called fire out of heaven. But in that moment, he's tired. His emotions are spent. And this little comment from a little devil says, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. He just called fire out of heaven. I'm going to kill you, Elijah. He goes, ah, and like runs into the desert and prays that like God kills him. You think, what's up with this guy? Why is he so vulnerable? What's the problem with him right now? And you know what God did? I love this. God doesn't shame him. God doesn't accuse him. God doesn't punish him. God says, Elijah, you need a nap. He does. Your Bible says that. You need a nap. Go to bed. We do that with our kids. They're fussy and grumpy and poopy pants and all kinds of stuff. And you're like, you need a nap. Maybe that's what some of us need. You know, we're grumpy. I've been waiting. I'm grumpy. And maybe sometimes I have a bad attitude. And someone just needs to look at me and say, you need a nap. Maybe that would fix it all. But Elijah goes to sleep. And then God wakes up and makes him holy hotcakes. Makes him pancakes. And God says, eat something. And so Elijah eats it. And then God says, go back to bed. So he goes, go back to bed. Get up, eat something. And he does. And then Elijah's himself again. Elijah's himself again. But here's what you have to see in that passage of scripture. All of us, no matter how mighty we are on the inside, no matter how holy, no matter how anointed, no matter how spiritual, no matter how much authority we have, we still live in a fleshly body that gets tired, it wears out, and you need to know yourself. You need to be aware and alert. When I was growing up dating Maria, my parents, her parents had a quote for us. They said, nothing good happens after midnight. At midnight, you come home. Because we make dumb choices when we're tired. Amen. And I thank God for those rules. And they work. Sometimes we don't pay attention. We're not on alert like the Bible tells us to be on alert. Yeah. Some of you, man, the devil wants to drive you so hard. And you need a nap. You need a break. You need to take your Sabbath like you're supposed to. You need to take vacation. And you can sit there and say, well, I don't have any or we can't afford it. God will make a way. You've got to make time to rest. You must replenish yourself so that you're not making these horrible choices and continuing to be tempted back into and pulled out of who you are. Bored, angry, insecure, tired. Go ahead and stand up. Let me close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Good. Let me pray this into your life. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for Life Church. I thank you for those watching on the internet right now. Father, I pray as you have taught us through your word that we are light, that you have done this tremendous work in our lives. We are not going to be pulled out of that and back into darkness again. Lord, I pray right now you help us to identify places in our lives we might be vulnerable. Maybe we've pulled ourselves out of the race for far too long and we're allowing ourselves to be bored and drift away from our callings. Lord, maybe we're irritated, angry, fearful, jealous, something. We repent of that. It's not worth being pulled out of what you've put us into. Amen. Lord, if there's insecurity in our lives, we want people to like us. We want friends. We want people's acceptance. We don't want to be rejected. God, we will not take the bait. We are accepted in the beloved by God. You are our identity. If God be for me, who can be against me? Lord, help us to stop being afraid of other people's opinions. And Lord, I thank you that you help us to walk in freedom and confidence of who we are. I pray for those that are just tired. And Lord, I think that's an American, just cultural thing where this culture drives people. So they're too tired to make the right decisions. They're too tired to be active in God. They're too tired to resist. And their defenses are down. In the middle of the night, they're on the internet doing all kinds of stuff or looking at things on TV they shouldn't because their defenses are down and they're just tired and they're spent. Lord, I pray strength into the body. I pray refreshing. Lord, make time. You move the sun backwards and made a day longer. If you have to, do a miracle of time in their lives to rest and to refresh. Provide vacations out of nowhere, God. I pray that in the next few months that so many of these would have vacations released to them, even supernaturally. Lord, I thank you for finances to be released, debt to come off so that they can go rest. Lord, I just thank you right now. I pray that into our body, into our church, that they may be healthy. Marriage is healthy, personally healthy, spiritually healthy. So Lord, I thank you for spiritually healthy, physically healthy church, that we're on alert and we don't let the devil steal anymore. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Before I dismiss you, I'm going to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us need a Savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I challenge you today. Have you ever called on the name of the Lord? So, Pastor Kevin, I've gone to church. I didn't ask you if you go to church. I said, did you ever call on the name of the Lord to save you? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. You have to call on the name of the Lord. And so I encourage you today, get right with God. You know, maybe today is the first time you've ever heard anything that God is for you. God's trying to help you be freed from sin. God's here to champion your life and to help you succeed. He's not here to point a finger or condemn. He's trying to get all that garbage out of your life. And so today, if everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes for the next 30 seconds, I want to give people privacy. But if that's you today and you're out of relationship with God for any reason and you say, Pastor Kevin, I want to call in the name of the Lord and get right with the Lord today, get right with Jesus today. You might say, I've never done that. Or maybe I used to have a relationship with him, but I walked away and I want to make it right. Nobody's looking at you. No one's looking around, just me, so I can know who's asking. But today, if that's you and say, Pastor Kevin, I want to get right with Jesus. If I was to die today, I don't know where I'd stand and I want to be right with God. If that's you, all I'm asking you to do is be brave enough to slip your hand up right where you are so I can pray for you. Anybody today, say, Pastor Kevin, pray for me. I need to get right with Jesus. Just pop your hand up right where you are. It would be an honor and a privilege to pray for you today. I am not right with God, or I'm not sure if I'm right with God, and I want to be sure. Just put your hand up wherever you are, and we'll pray for you today. There's a hand in the front. Awesome. Anybody else? There's a hand in the back. Great. Anybody else? Just pop it up right where you are. We'll pray today. Right where you are. God knows. Anyone else this morning? Okay, let's all pray together so not praying by themselves. Something like this. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize that I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you celebrate that? Can I get my prayer team to come forward? We have some great prayer workers that are going to be up front here as I dismiss. And they're here to pray for miracles in your life, healings, breakthrough. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need God to touch something going on in your life. I trust these individuals. You can come down and they'll minister to you very, very powerfully. If you're one of those couple that raised your hand today to give your life to God, on your way out, right behind the video cameras, we have a New Beginnings area, and they have Bibles there and resources for you. We'd love to connect with you. If you just stop by there for just 30 seconds, they would love to help. We just want you to do this with friends and not by yourself. Let me just bless you and dismiss you. Heavenly Father, I bless Life Church as they go. I thank you, Lord, they begin to see growth in their life over and overcoming sin, overcoming bondages and cycles and all that stuff. That God, they're better today than they were yesterday. They're better tomorrow than they are today. Lord, I thank you that they're living the victory that you've paid for. And even if they sin, that thank you, Jesus, that we have an advocate. And there's a peace in that, and there's a confidence in that. And we thank you that we're getting better. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you.